to be back in the clubhouse with all the guys to get out on the field. And you know, pretty much everybody was here a few days early, so that's always a good sign. But, you know, I'm still learning and I'm still trying to get better as best I can over there. But I feel a lot more comfortable this year than last year. We got some new faces in here, you know, players and coaches, and the enthusiasm was high, and you know, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, enthusiasm sounds real high, and it just sounds like you're really into it. And, you know, it's probably time to back into the pay window for another check. Enthusiasm is just unbelievable.
Hold on, I need to sit down. I'm struggling from bilateral leg weakness at the moment.
Just, I'm
dizzy.
Oh, hold on a second. I just got a little too excited there. I blew my obliques out. Hey, listen, Jim Rich joins us now, a guy that could replace Joe Maurer, the voice that we just heard, if need be. Jim is the kind of guy that would go ahead and just pick up a bat and just get out there and hover over the plate and get hit and take his base. That's what he would do. You would do it.
I would get beaten with a fastball. For that paycheck, I would stand there and get abused by a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Why not? Why not, man? And then just sit on the IR. Just say, I don't know what happened. It was bilateral something. It hurt the hell out of me. And I'm telling you right now, I'm good for another paycheck or two before you try to put me back out there again. But I was impressed by the enthusiasm shown by Joe Maurer just now.
Yeah, well, you know, he's off the charts. You know?
Yeah.
You have to use a different scale to measure that enthusiasm.
I know it. Joe Maurer says, yeah, well, a few more coaches around here and new faces, new players, and enthusiasm's really high here. Oh, well, we believe you.
It's ridiculous. Jim Rich, you're down in Florida with the Minnesota Twins at Hammond Stadium. You've been down there since Sunday, and you're going to be down there until, I want to say, Thursday. And you've been around the guys now. You probably know Joe Maurer better than we do. Is that as excited as he possibly can ever get? Is he just the most dull and boring man of all time?
Well, you know, if they made a movie, The Dullest Man in America, he would be fighting for the leading role.
Be on a short list.
Yes.
But, did you expect anything better from him this time around? Is he approaching his offseason differently to try to stay healthy, to try and get himself back out there to withstand a full season of play?
You know what? I really do. I think he's going to come back and be the Joe Maurer that he was, not the one that hits 28 homers and drives in 128 RBI, but the Joe Maurer that will lead this team in hitting, will hit well over 300, 325, 330, and I think he can be in contention for a batting title. They spoke a lot about, we sat down with Paul Molitor today talking about the pressure that Joe is under. Because he is the hometown kid, he takes more abuse than anybody else. And, you know, Molitor, he was a guy that took a lot of heat when he wouldn't perform. Now, he's never had a fallout like Joe did last year, but he said, I've had years where it just didn't work for me. And he goes, I just feel that the pressure on him from everybody, everywhere he goes, really gets to him. And as you see, he doesn't express himself. He's not going to blow up in the clubhouse, grab a reporter, throw him down a flight of stairs. He's just going to keep it and internalize it. And Molitor thinks he can help him through that and try to get him back to where he once was.
Maybe he needs to see a psychologist or something like that to be able to feel his emotions.
What the hell's wrong with you telling people that he needs a psychologist?
Well,
who are you to judge? He doesn't need a psychologist. He needs a psychiatrist.
Whatever. I mean, I'm not sure about the difference.
Kidding.
He needs some sort of therapist is what it is. But,
yeah.
Jim, have you ever had a chance to talk to Joe Maurer about the fact that he was getting booed incessantly last year and how that felt for him?
Yeah, we talked to him about that today, matter of fact. And he said, you know, people don't understand how much it bothers me. He says, I think about it all the time. I think about the losing. He goes, here's my hometown team. I'm the guy that's supposed to lead us to victories. And instead, you know, things go backwards for me. You know, and he says it's been very disappointing. But he said finally, he says his body is all right. He's been healthy all offseason. He's been able to do what he needs to do. And so he feels he's ready to jump out of the gate and be back to the guy he was. And hopefully that's the case.
You know, Jim, when he signed that big contract, I thought to myself, there is so much pressure. So much pressure that people don't realize because he just got this deal done. He could have literally gone anywhere and not received this kind of booing, because it's a different kind of booing when you're from the Twin Cities, when you're from Creighton-Durham Hall, when you're the guy with all the batting records and golden gloves, and now all of a sudden, if you don't go out there and do that, you are the biggest heel in the world, and you could have gone to Boston, you could have gone to New York and not had a good season, but they would have said, well,
no, come
okay,
on.
It didn't work.
With all that money, don't you think Boston and New York would have been booing him much quicker than they would have
been
here?
Day.
Yeah, but I mean, the fans here in Minnesota, you're Minnesotan, we're friends with Minnesota, I'm Minnesotan, we work with Minnesotans, they call us Minnesota Nice for a reason. It took a long time for fans to start booing Joe Mauer, and when it finally happened, it was a respectful boo. Yeah, mellow boo. Yeah. It wasn't a full throat boo that Twins booed AJ Pierzynski when he'd come back. It was still a very nice boo.
And this is a different kind of thing than Kevin Love. I mean, this guy's from here. He grew up here. I mean, he is a hometown hero. He could play any sport. He was that kid. He was the all-American boy that could do literally anything. Put a ball in his hands, put a racket in his hands. A ball bat, he's going to do something. I said ball bat.
I know, I love it when you say that.
I haven't done that in a while. But I don't know.
Because of the fact that he's from here and he's one of us, that's the reason why I think fans have been so respectful. I mean, his family has a car dealership in Minnesota. They do a lot of great things for the community.
Sure.
If it was anybody else besides Joe Mauer, the boos would have been much more aggressive, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because of the price tag he's made on this new contract. Yeah, but don't you think because of the price, I mean, $23 million, people are... Also, the kinds of people that live in Minnesota, when it comes to money, they're like, I can't justify that. I can't understand paying someone that kind of... I mean, that's what kind of people we are. In New York, I'm sure they don't really look at the price tag. Can he play baseball or not? Here, it's like, if you make that kind of money, you better start putting some numbers together.
But yes, they should.
Of course, and
yes,
I agree with it. I totally agree.
I mean, the rest of us work hard to earn our paychecks every other Friday or two times a month.
That's the Minnesota mentality.
And we're lunch pail type guys, whether you wear a suit to work or whether you wear overalls or whether you wear a uniform. That's just the Minnesota mentality, and we expect that same thing out of our chosen son and our local boy, Joe Mauer, and everybody else that gets millions of dollars to play on a professional sports teams. Jim Rich, we're talking to Jim Rich. We're doing a lot of talking. We got to let Jim Rich do some talking.
He doesn't have to talk.
No, I know, but this morning you were on. I saw you on the Fox 9 Morning News. That a buddy. I saw you on the Fox 9 Morning News this morning. I think you were talking to Casey Fien, talking about how chilly it was down there, and I just felt so terrible for you. Have you had a chance to speak with Ricky Nolasco yet? I asked you about that yesterday.
We did get a chance to talk to Ricky today, and... he was in much better shape. He said he spent 6 weeks off and then went to work right away. And he hired a nutritionist. He hired a weight training guy. He hired a physical therapist. He said he went all in because last year drove him crazy. And he said that he is not planning on having that repeat again. So he visibly looks like he's lost probably... I don't know. I'm not a real good judge of guessing weight, but I'd say 15, 20 pounds. I mean, you know, last year he had a little bit of a stomach to him, and it's all gone now. He looks great.
So it's going to be kind of fun to watch some of this team come together, especially the pitching staff. Alaska, you just talked about that. Santana, we're all interested in seeing what he brings to the table. But Phil Hughes, what's he looking like, and what's his... I mean, does he walk with that newfound confidence? Is he back for another one of those years? Just by the way you carry yourself when you show up for camp, it tells you a lot about the player. What do you think?
Well, funny you ask. I spoke with him today. We got a ton of guys today. And we were chatting about the record that he set last year, the strikeouts to walk ratio. Major League Baseball, no pitcher has ever had that many strikeouts, that few walks. And his thing is, you know what, I don't want to give anybody a free pass. I'm not going to let anybody get on base by me giving them that base. I'm going to make this guy earn it. And he goes, it's all about confidence in your stuff. And he said, I always knew I had it. It didn't work in New York, but I never lost my confidence. And last year it came through for me. And, you know, I signed my extension to stay here because I believe in what coming up the pipeline. I see these young guys coming, and I think this is going to be a franchise that can compete again.
We want you back for one more segment. I know it's going to cost you twice as much. The check is going to come back. I know, but with the check in the mail, if you can come back and talk to us about the Minnesota Wild and shift gears here a little bit. We've got Ottawa in town tonight. The Senators are in town. We have to have your breakdown.
All righty. We can do it.
Thanks for being all
today.
In like Joe Maurer. You sound well. Thank you for joining us again, and you have all that to look forward to. You heard him just there confirming that he would indeed come back. So it's Jim Rich with Radioactive Sports next.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports 105 The Ticket.
Looking for depth and looking for a left shot defenseman and looking for a guy that, again, has played in the playoffs and can move the puck. We want our defense really to be mobile and have the ability to move the puck, and his skill set certainly has those two attributes in it. I'm surprised it took this long in some ways, but he'll provide depth and a guy that we know can play, and certainly a player that's had a lot of success in this market and was eager to come home too. So, again, I think we'll get a lot out of Jordan Huether.
The voice of Chuck Fletcher, the GM here with the Minnesota Wild, just before they decide they're going to go over here and drop the puck against the Ottawa Senators, we are going to have Jim Rich on to preview just such a scrimmage. Jim Rich standing by, though, in Fort Myer down in Sunnyside, Florida, in the Sun Belt, probably drinking a big orange juice and vodka. Jim Rich.
Yes, sir.
There he is down there swimming with the manatees. Those are protected. They're endangered species. You're not supposed to touch those, James. I know we don't have a ton of time with you because you have to go on TV, which is your most important deal.
But that's touching your manatee.
That's the one that actually pays you. We were talking to Tom Reed earlier about the new Minnesota Wild players, and there are four of them that were traded for at the middle of the season. We have obviously now Leopold and Stewart that came in yesterday via trade, but even Dubnyk and Hyman Grimer. I always forget that guy's name, Sean Bergenheim.
That's Weimenheimer.
But all four of those guys were basically asking for trades. They weren't playing with their old former teams, and now they should come to this Minnesota Wild team with a bit of a swagger, a team that is going to get that extra boost from a guy. Well, we saw what happened with Devan Dubnyk. Now, you think we'll get that same thing with Stewart, who yesterday said, I can't wait to play the playoffs. And the Minnesota Wild obviously not guaranteed a playoff spot yet, but like I said, that swagger's coming to the Minnesota Wild. Both those new players should make their debuts tonight. Your thoughts on that, Jim Rich?
Yeah, I mean, obviously no one's going to make as big an impact as Devan Dubnyk unless you acquire a guy like Alexander Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby. His fingerprints on this team are the reason why they're sitting in the position they are. Stewart's a guy that can provide some size. I think Fletcher has noticed that his team doesn't seem to be physically as dominating as some other teams in the West. He wanted to beef up that size with Bergenheim and bringing in Stewart. And Leopold provides you some depth, and already you need that depth tonight because Scandella and Spurgeon are both out of the lineup. So it's all about completing the picture, and that's what you do at the trade deadline in the NHL is you try to complete your team, what you have, and try to find complementary pieces.
Jim, we were talking with Tom Reed earlier. You hear from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub down in St. Paul. We're asking him about the kind of job that Chuck Fletcher has done to try to find some of this talent, try to assemble as much of this down the stretch to make sure he has a loaded bench, if need be, come playoff time. And some of the people that he's acquired outside of Dubnyk, of course, which has been nothing short of a miracle, really, in Minnesota sports history, maybe. But how do you think he's done? I mean, I asked Tom Reed that very question. He said he has done an excellent job. He's got a good nose for talent.
Well, I think, you know, obviously the Dubnyk trade is number one, but if you had to look for a second trade that he really didn't give up a lot of pieces for or potential for was the Cal Clutterbuck trade for Nito Niederreiter. I mean, the Islanders had him buried. They had him in their farm system. They didn't like the kid. They didn't think he was going to pan out. And Fletcher and his staff saw something there, and they knew the ceiling for Clutterbuck. He's a good grinding forward, but he's not a guy that could be a top six forward for you, where they saw that in Niederreiter. And Now he has 21 goals this year and has really stepped up his game. And so, I mean, that was a great trade. You look at the situation where, you know, he picks up pieces that other teams discard, and he finds some way to fit in here. Bommanville has been a good choice. That trade has worked out. So he's done a pretty good job. A lot of people go back to the Nick Leddy trade to Chicago as a bad one, and he'll agree he messed that one up. But I'd say 80% of his trades have been very positive for the Wild.
Talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. He is live from Fort Myers and Twin Spring Training down at Hammond Stadium. We're talking to him about the Minnesota Wild right now. Jim, the Minnesota Wild host the Ottawa Senators, a very hot team. We talk about the fact that the Minnesota Wild are the hottest team in the NHL since the All-Star break, but the Ottawa Senators have won five straight. Tell me about the matchup tonight and how you see the game going.
Oh, Ottawa has been great. They got a young kid in the goal right now, this Hammond kid. Has really stepped up, really done a job for them, and has really been a big reason why this team sits where they sit right now, trying to, obviously they're not making the playoffs this year, but he's showing some promise. The team is playing well, and this is a team that a lot of people thought would be right in the thick of it in the Eastern Conference, but instead their season has fallen apart with injuries, but right now they're playing well, so it's another big test for the Wild. Ottawa is on an extended road trip, but one out west in California, and now they come here trying to keep that winning ways rolling on the road.
Jim, you know, we've been really lucky to keep Dubnyk out on the ice all this time. He hasn't stepped aside and made room for Kemper to get in. We come into a cluster of back-to-back games, four of them through most of March. What's going to happen? Obviously, if Kemper has to get in there, can he slow things down if he has to go in once or twice leading into the playoffs? Can that kill our mojo, or does this team continue on and find a way to get past all those back-to-backs until Dubnyk returns to full action?
I think they're fine now. I think after that Edmonton loss, and then he went into Nashville where it looked like, you know, if a snowball was going to start, that could have been it. And they bounced back with a great victory there and then did the same in Colorado. I think if you get to a back-to-back situation where you have to put Kemper in, I think the team realizes that it won't be the end of the world, and hopefully they have a big enough cushion on that eighth playoff spot that if they don't grab the 2 points, it won't be a killer for them. And who knows, maybe Kemper during all this time has done some reflecting on what he's done and how he's lost this job, and maybe he'll be determined to show everybody he still can play at this level.
Yeah, I would think that he would be trying to learn everything that he possibly could from someone who is playing at such an elite level right now as Dubnyk is. Jim, thank you for your time, though. We love having you aboard, and you know, take care of yourself down in Florida. Don't do anything silly or irresponsible.
I heed that advice that you give me daily. Those ideas pop in my head, and I go, no, what would Mike do?
And then no, don't do what would Mike do, because God knows that what would Mike do would probably leave you with skin cancer, because please, yeah, dear God, yeah, wear suntan lotion while you're down there.
Well, yeah, and don't wrestle alligators. That's something else I would do, but I wouldn't want you doing that.
That is true. That is true.
That is so true. It's so true. And enough comedy jokes here. Jim, thank you so much for your time. As always, we'll be talking to you tomorrow, I hope.
Yeah, tomorrow Gophers will be here. The exhibition season opens up with the Twins and the Gophers here at Hammond Stadium. Should be a lot of fun.
Real quick, because I know you have to go, what do you expect the lineup to be for the Minnesota Twins tomorrow? Anything resembling what the opening day or the opening day lineup might be, or just a bunch of young scrubs? Scrubs.
You get to see Jose Berrios start. That'll be good. Perkins will pitch the third inning. And we get to see Byron Buxton. He'll play in the game. Those are really the big carrots for Twins fans tomorrow.
Any idea if that game's on Fox Sports North or televised at all? It is. Sweet.
Fox Sports Plus. We'll have the game.
Fox Sports Plus. All right. Can't wait for a little baseball.
Yeah, we're glued to it. We're watching you do a nice job, okay?
Yeah, heck of a work.
All right, then.
All right, we'll do it.
Thank you, Jimmy.
See you, James. All right, watch James on Fox 9. He's got a 5:30 hit. Don't turn the channel from us, though. By God, please, dear Lord. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. He'll be all over it tomorrow morning as well. Jim Rich, the best in the business.
I think he is. By God, good Lord.
Well, I know he is.
I'll tell you what, by God, good Lord, Rick Spielman.
Who?
That Spielman guy.
Never heard of him.
Dick Springsteen?
Oh, yes, that guy.
He's pretty darn good at what he does, like too. You know, we've got a little audio talking about Adrian Peterson. I'd love you to break that down a little bit, how he feels about the running back and maybe a possible return or not. We'll hear all about that from the Viking general manager right after this.
On 105, the ticket.
On,
I said on sports
105
radio.
105, the ticket.
105, the ticket.
We're on 105, the ticket.
There you go.
So is ACDC.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Down. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and
roll. You want to rock and roll. I mean, way up there. Look up there.
Yeah.
See that up there?
It's I can't even
way
see
to
it.
The top.
It's so long.
It's way up there. I mean, that's rock and roll up there.
Oh, I had no idea that they were like rafters here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub.
All the way at the top. It's a long way to the top.
This is wicked.
I love this song because they have bagpipes in them.
I love this song because it was in School of Rock
with
Jack Black. One of the greatest movies of all
that's
time.
A good movie. And it's my band. So let that be a lesson to all you guys. I'm going to try and get some tattooing done this weekend.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No, stop it.
No, I am.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
Where?
Seriously.
In your face?
Aloha Monkey.
What the hell is that?
That's the name of the place where I get it done.
Oh, okay.
And I'll have Josh. I'm going to do a face tattoo.
No, you're not. Where are you going to get the tattoo? What's going on? Why are you doing this? Why are you telling me this?
I don't know.
Are you really going to? I'm thinking about getting a tattoo, but I don't know what I'm going to get.
I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to do it. I love ink. You know I do.
I know you do.
Deep ink. That's for me.
Oh, man.
What are they going to do? I want you to tell me right now, what are the Vikings going to do with Adrian Peterson?
I don't know.
Quit looking and gawking at the crowd going by. Pay attention to what I'm asking you. Look at me.
Okay.
Look at me.
I am.
Now that I have your attention, you ADD son of a... What are they going to do? What are they going to do with the bike? With Adrian Peterson, is he going to stay here or not? I mean, Rick Spielman had a few choice words.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that because I have no idea, as you don't either. You have no idea. It seems like it changes every single day.
It does.
Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings now allowed to have dialogue with each other since last Thursday's ruling from Judge David Doty here in Minneapolis, overturning the NFL suspension. But at the same time, Adrian Peterson back on the commissioner's exempt list. However, they can have conversations back and forth instead of Adrian talking to ESPN.com or CBS Sports Network saying he feels uneasy about coming back or this or that or, you know, all the comments that he made. In fact, during the NFL Pro Day yesterday for the Minnesota Gophers at Gibson-Nagurski Football Complex, General Manager Rick Spielman was there and had a chance to talk to some reporters, and they obviously bum-rushed him with questions about Adrian Peterson, and I want you to listen to this and to tell me your God's honest truth and feelings about if we can garner anything about the Adrian Peterson-Minnesota Viking relationship. So, Sam, back at the station, if you can play that would be fantastic.
We are able to have communication now with Adrian. You know, we'll keep all those communications internal. I don't want to sit here and give you guys a blow-by-blow every day. And, you know, I think it's been very clearly stated that we want Adrian Peterson back. There's no question about, you know, the talent, and he's a unique talent, and you know, he's under contract with us next year.
You believe there's a rift going on between you and the Vikings and Peterson now?
You know, I'm not going to get into anything on that front.
So how often have you talked with him?
Again, I'm not going to get into a blow-by-blow description of when we talk or what's going on. I'll just tell you that we are able to have communication with him.
He said he was uneasy about potentially returning. I mean, do you think that's something that you and Mike and whoever else might be able to...
We'll leave all our talks internal. Yeah, I don't want
for making progress.
You can ask me all the Adrian Peterson questions you want. I can tell you that we're going to have, and we have, open communication with him, and we'll just leave all those discussions, you know, between us and Adrian.
Do you consider the ruling beneficial to you? Because now you can talk to him, and also you'll know by March 10th rather than April 15th, most likely, you know, what you can do with him potentially?
I'll just say it's beneficial that we're able to talk to him, just like it's beneficial we're able to talk to any player.
And you have already,
though. Huh?
You have already talked.
I'll say we've had open dialogue. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to confirm or deny everything, anything like that. We're able to have communication with Adrian Peterson. I'll leave it at that.
Thoughts?
Okay, so I guess we know now. If we didn't know before, we definitely know now. They are not going to say a single thing. They know how sticky this has gotten. They know that there's bad blood. that has been mixed, and they are not good. They can come out and tell them exactly and only what they can say, because they are not, all teams are now allowed to speak with any of their free agents or anybody, even on the exempt list in this case.
Mm-hmm.
They can decide the fit, because they still can trade him and make a move like that with Adrian Peterson. They have made contact. They sure as heck aren't going to tell you how that went. There's no way he would lead into something like that. But he came out and got the stuff verbatim that he knew he was going to have to answer. Have you communicated? We've had open discussions. That's it.
But can we break this down just a little bit? Because
Sure. You
as a former Minnesota Viking, and you're at Winter Park off and on. You know these guys. You know Rick Spielman. You know you've met and had a chance to have several conversations with Mike Zimmer. Let's say the conversations with the Minnesota Vikings and Adrian Peterson went well. And are going well. What is the positive or possible negative of telling the media that they're going well?
You won't hear it. You won't hear one way or another. They will not.
But why not?
Fuel the media, because they don't want it to get out how it's going.
Why?
They don't want, because you're not going to get to know if it's going the wrong way or not. They don't want to lend fuel to the fire or have public upheaval over all the, but yeah, they said they want him back, but what? They want him back for less money. He's going to have to take a pay restructuring.
He's going to take a pay cut.
He's going to take a hell of a hit. That's not going to make Adrian happy. It's not going to make his agent happy. They've already had issues, shall I say, between Dogra and Rob Brzezinski at a restaurant down in
Indianapolis
at Combine. So you're not going to get to hear that. They don't want you to know, because it fuels each side or one-sidedness, and you're not going to have that. I mean, of course, if Adrian leaks it, you'll get it. And that's one way. They'll try and go that direction with it, and they'll probably get it from him because, oh.
If not him, his dad.
Oh, for sure.
His dad, Nelson Peterson's the one that's been chirping to anybody that'll possibly listen about.
I mean,
Adrian doesn't feel bad about coming back to the
right
or whatever. I mean, because it's something.
If he's smart, if Adrian is smart, or Nelson Peterson, his father, as you mentioned, was smart, they would leave this alone and leave it as friendly as they possibly can to get something done in a positive manner than this other stuff that they've been trying to do. They need to let these people, handle the Vikings, handle the money in the contract, and that's what you pay them top dollar for. Stay out of it or you're going to ruin it again.
Yeah. So is this, just listening to that clip with Vikings general manager Rick Spielman yesterday at the pro day for the Minnesota Gophers, any inkling whatsoever which way it's going to go by listening to him? I mean, this could be the beginning of the end. March 10th, the NFL new league year, a week from today, you can trade, you can sign, you can do this, you can do that. Adrian Peterson could be on the move. Or is Adrian Peterson, are they smoothing things over now that they have that discussion and an open dialogue, as Rick Spielman was saying, and they're going to restructure and Adrian Peterson's going to be here to stay? Can you tell by that clip we just heard?
If I had to say so right now, I'd say he's moving on. I'd have to say they're going to push him down the road by that conversation. That's what it said.
But why? Why did you get that from that?
Rick's tone, his
there were no smiles.
He has put a stamp and a seal on each remark that he's made. He is not going to go down that road. He wasn't pleasant about it. He wasn't, he didn't offer up anything else that was cuddly or warm or fuzzy or things are whatever, good, bad. When you don't offer up anything and you keep it cut and dried, there's a real good chance, I think, that it's going the other way. Not the way that most fans, I would suppose. If I'm speaking for most fans thinking that he's going to come back, I would say it's probably the other direction, because it is, I think it got heated more so than we ever thought down in Indianapolis. I think it got way out of line. The father, Adrian himself coming on with Gessling, his agent, everyone, it blew up. It really, really did. They got in front of some of those Viking officials and made a big deal out of it. And I don't know. I think they shot themselves in the foot.
Okay, we just got some breaking news here. Do you know who Kiko Alonso is?
No, I don't.
Kiko Alonso, linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills have notified Kiko Alonso that he's going to be traded to Philadelphia next week for running back LeSean McCoy.
Wow.
This according to Adam Schefter, trade official next week. LeSean McCoy, the human joystick.
Oh, yeah, the joystick.
Why would they do that?
You must really love Sproles. Sproles is there in Philly as well,
yeah,
right?
That trade doesn't make any sense to me.
A linebacker for that kind of running back, unless they know, like so many people think, is that you can pick up another running back in the draft and be perfectly happy because you can just, you know, keep bringing running backs through the system. They either are or they aren't able to run. I guess if you get your hands on a really good running back, you feel like your chances are good and your money is better spent that way.
So if LeSean McCoy can be traded for linebacker Kiko Alonso, what does that say about the trade market for Adrian Peterson?
I mean, I don't know what
their cap numbers
Kiko
are.
Alonso was. I don't know what he was at. I mean, the salary cap or the salary, I have no idea. But if they're trading him, it must be a straight up deal. And I mean, that must be.
They're both under the salary cap, though. They're both under the salary cap, so they don't have. It's not like the NBA where they have to match salaries.
Right. But I mean, but you only hear one player for another player, so it must be the same, about the same amount of money, right? Or are there draft choices? Because if there isn't draft choices, then they traded them straight up. That can't happen. That couldn't be. That just no way that could be.
I'm looking at Kiko Alonso
but
right
it is,
now.
I'm looking at it. Adam Schefter reporting on it right now.
Yeah.
So it is.
What
Bills
the heck?
Trade linebacker. Kiko Alonso for the Eagles running back, LeSean McCoy, the human joystick. And he is a good running back. I love the way he plays. That makes the Bills instantly better. Spiller going down last season against the Vikings with an ACL. So they were out of a running back. They really were. So, they just picked up a hell of a football player right there. So that's the first really, really significant free agent trade of the offseason as far as I'm concerned.
Kiko Alonso. And I'm looking at all these different sites to find his stats.
Yep.
The last year's stat I can find is 2013. I don't know why that's the case.
Well,
16 games, 87 solo tackles, 159 combined, 2 sacks.
It's a good season.
4 interceptions.
That's a real good season.
2 fumble recoveries.
Big numbers.
ACL, he had an ACL.
That's why then.
Last February, missed all of last season, but should be ready for camp. Would you trade Kiko Alonso? If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, would you trade LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso? Now hearing?
No.
Well, then what are they doing?
Plus, you don't know how he's going to come back. He had an ACL. He injured it last February before he even got to the 2014 season. His last season was 2013. So how did he blow his ACL out in February?
It doesn't say.
The Bills weren't in the playoffs.
Oh, they weren't.
They weren't in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. He's done something in training and blown his ACL out. And so I don't know. That seems like a bit of a stretch to me. But
I can't believe that. I'm sorry. I'm kind of in a daze going, what?
That's a lot of player that I really don't know that well.
Would you be okay if the Minnesota Vikings had traded Adrian Peterson to the Buffalo Bills for Kiko Alonso? How would you feel if that was Adrian Peterson? Because LeSean McCoy is the second highest paid running back in the National Football League. Next to Adrian Peterson. So their salaries are very similar. There were rumors this last weekend, according to sources, that the Buffalo Bills might have been in the running for Adrian Peterson. Now we know it's true that they were in the running for a running back, and they want to make some sort of deal for a running back. They will, according to Adam Schefter, trade Kiko Alonso, the linebacker, to the Eagles for running back LeSean McCoy. That could have been the Minnesota Vikings. They could have been talking over this last weekend, and maybe when Rick Spielman was talking earlier about the open dialogue that they're having with Adrian Peterson, maybe this stuff is going on in the background, and we may hear sooner rather than later a breaking news situation with Adrian Peterson. Now we know that the Vikings organization wants to keep Adrian Peterson, or at least that's what they've been saying, and that's what they continue to say, and Adrian Peterson telling everybody he's uneasy about coming back to the Vikings.
I think it's safe to say that's probably the way it's going to go. Uneasy. Spielman being very uneasy in his comments regarding being allowed to actually make communication contact with the player, and of course, as you mentioned, we are going to talk to him. We did break open conversation. We also have him for 3 more years in a contract. It's obvious that the rest of the league is shopping around for running backs, and they just took McCoy, who is much healthier in many, and I don't know how much younger. I think significantly younger than Adrian,
but
he's a player, a proven player, I guess. And does Alonso play middle?
No, he's an outside linebacker.
Well, that would have said something about the Greenway thing, probably. Yeah, I mean, if we were talking that way,
But it is interesting. I would think that the Minnesota Vikings, knowing their team and covering them every day, that they'd be more interested in draft picks.
I think so, too. I think they are going to forever be the team that will work from within the system.
But the Buffalo Bills didn't have very many draft picks to offer. I want to say that the first draft pick that they have this year in the draft is third or fourth round. They don't have a first or a second, which automatically takes them out of the running for Adrian Peterson.
They just gave up a heck of a football player for a heck of a football player.
Wow.
But the fact is that Alonzo, I'm surprised in the Eagles that they would take Alonzo unless there is some history with one of the coaches there with Philadelphia.
He played in Oregon.
That's why then. So Chip Kelly took him.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that explains it. That explains it. But why,
aren't you flabbergasted by that move?
I am. I really am. I'm surprised by that. A linebacker for a running back of that stature. I really am. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, it's an interesting little segment. I've decided to go to another list. I love NFL lists. And so I'm going to just throw out a list of the greatest players to not win a Super Bowl.
The greatest players to win a Super Bowl.
I have players who have not won a Super Bowl. And you can add to the list. I've got my own 10.
Okay.
And you can add to that, and we can see if we come up with the right list or something even close to it right after the break. And I should also mention before we go to the break that we are brought to you by Rogoszewski, Rogoszewski and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. Before you blow, call Rogo. Come on back. Radioactive Sports. Welcome back.
Hi there.
Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson. We are known as Radioactive Sports. Down here at Tom Reed's, the Hockey City Pub. And, I mean, this place is it's loading up. They're locked and loaded for bear tonight. Minnesota Wild taking on the Ottawa Senators over at the Excel Center. And we are, as always, when they're at home on Tuesdays, we're down at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Brought to you by Rogoszewski, Rogoszewski and Atkins. We're going to break down a little list, and I from time to time I'll make a list to bring into the show, and normally it's always NFL. I'm going to be honest with you, I like to go through NFL lists. I love studying the old archives and the old lists and the old records. And by the way, that will be tomorrow, 10 untouchable Super Bowl, NFL records that will not be broken.
Okay.
But that'll be for tomorrow. But this one is a little bit different. Players, my top 10 players that never won a Super Bowl. Never won a Super Bowl. So that usually is the cue for Ben Holson to go ahead and start whittling away on the list, very much Family Feud style.
All right. I would say the first couple of names that come to my mind right away, Barry Sanders.
Number one on my list.
Number one on the list. Number two on the list has to be Dan Marino.
Dan Marino's on my list. You got two out of the ten.
So he's not number two.
That's pretty good. Yeah. What's that?
But he's not number two.
He's not number two. I don't think we should go in any order. I mean, I really don't.
Jim Kelly?
You know what? Jim Kelly, no.
Didn't make the list.
Did not make the list.
There's a certain turd biscuit named Mike Morris that should probably be on your list.
Funny enough, he's the other eight. He's the other eight. The superstar didn't get a ring and didn't get to play in one. And we could go on and on and on.
I hesitate
this, 98 that. Snap was high, blah, blah, blah.
I hesitate to even guess this because I know that you just despise the man, but Chris Carter.
He's not on the list.
Yeah, of course he's not.
But, well.
He deserves to be on the list, though.
And so does. Who'd you say? I think you said Jim Kelly. You said Jim Kelly, didn't you?
Yeah.
He deserves to be on the list.
Bruce Smith?
Bruce Smith would deserve easily to be
on the list. Who the hell is on this list?
Well, think about how I think.
So they're all offensive linemen.
No.
Come on. So then I'll say Will Shields.
Will Shields.
Don't
stupid
look at me
son
like
of
that.
A bitch. What's wrong with you? Will Shields. That's the best you can do.
Tim Brown.
No.
Not on your list either, Mike.
Offensive lineman. That's a wide receiver. Well, say a wide receiver if you're on that track.
Okay. Let's see.
Think about it.
Art Monk. No, he won one.
Won Super Bowls.
Who has him?
Did not
win.
Randy Moss. Played on a 15-1 Viking squad that did not go to the Super Bowl. Played on an undefeated New England Patriot team and got beat in the Super Bowl. Randy Moss probably has the most wins. And no Super Bowl ring to prove for it. He does have the AFC Championship ring with the Patriots. Randy Moss is on the list. I did say offensive lineman.
I know you did.
That's when you said
Anthony Munoz.
Munoz is on the list.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did that, but that's pretty good.
What do you mean you don't know how I did that? He's the greatest offensive lineman to ever play the game, probably.
Wow.
Don't you think?
No, but he's awfully... Awfully
he's
close.
Pretty,
he is
pretty good.
Really good. I have some other ones that I would fill in there, but that's another list.
Poor guy had to play for the Cincinnati Bengals his entire career.
He went, but he, at least he went to a couple of them.
Super Bowls?
Yeah.
He did. Hey,
at least he got in them.
With Boomer. Boomer Esiason.
I mean, Joe Montana beat him on the drive to John Taylor, or they would have won that damn thing.
Alan Page.
Alan Page is on the list.
Any more Vikings on the list?
There are several.
Several Vikings on the list. And Carl
Eller. Carl Eller's on the list.
Yeah. Chuck Foreman.
Chuck is not on the list.
Grant Tarkenton.
Nope. Oh, but there are offensive linemen. And there are some defensive
Ron
linemen.
Ranieri.
Ron's Hall of Famer. He's a great right tackle. No, he's not on the list. But there was a guard.
Randall McDaniel.
Randall McDaniel, who was the best guard of all time, I swear. And there was another guy by the name of John Randall, just to complete that list of Vikings
Randall,
that I had.
Sure.
John Randall, 137 and a half sacks as a defensive tackle. So he's also on the list. There's one more defensive lineman, I think, you could get. I mean, you might be, if you're lucky enough, for the old Los Angeles Rams.
Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones made my list. He made the list. We have one quarterback and one running back, and you'll be done. And they played for the same team.
Jim McMahon, no. He won a Super Bowl. Same team.
AFC.
Yeah. I'm sure people are yelling in their cars right now.
Two different eras, though.
651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. If you know.
Two different eras.
Two different eras.
Same team.
Running back, quarterback, best players in the NFL to not win a championship.
Some of the greatest offensive football ever seen in the National Football League. This quarterback operated within that offense.
Drawing a complete blank here. AFC?
AFC, and I'm sure you know
AFC.
And watch this team play.
Oh, I'm sure I have.
Several big-time wide receivers and a great tight end.
Warren Moon?
No.
Because they had the run and shoot. Remember that offense?
Run and shoot,
that was unbelievable.
Givens and all those. Yeah, uh-huh. Mike Renfro.
AFC. Any more hints?
AFC West.
AFC West. Stan Humphries?
He was the quarterback of this team at a Super Bowl, but not
Dan
the
Fouts.
Guy. Dan Fouts.
And LaDainian Tomlinson.
That
wow.
is exactly it. You got them both. But if you remember John Jefferson and Kellen Winslow and Joyner and...
Air Coryell?
Oh, that was...
Back in the day.
That was incredible. That was an incredible offense. They never went to a Super Bowl. They played a lot of AFC Championship games, but they never made it to a Super Bowl. But that's the list.
I know it's not on your
there's
list.
There's so many other ones, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, what about Brian Urlacher?
Urlacher.
One of the greatest players.
Yeah.
NFC North. Ever. I mean, we had to play him all the time. Didn't win a championship. Went to the Super Bowl against the Indianapolis Colts. Peyton Manning scrubbed the floor with them.
Sure did. Sure did. I mean, there were so many great football players that would come down. I mean, we said Deacon Jones, but Merlin Olsen, I think he played in 15 Pro Bowls. 15, I think, by Merlin Olsen. Never won a Super Bowl. Go up and down the line. I mean, some great, great football players. We said Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Trying to think of somebody else with the Chiefs. There have been so many. Oh, Tony Gonzalez. Never won a Super Bowl game.
Hmm.
Went with the Chiefs, and he went with the Atlanta Falcons and then retired. But, I mean, that's a great, great, great football player. Ozzie Newsom. Ozzie Newsom never won a Super Bowl.
Bernie Kosar.
Bernie never won one. He was in the AFC Championship game against the Broncos and got beat. I mean, Clay Matthews Sr., a great football player.
Yeah.
So a lot of those guys, you know, we're talking about a lot of really big-time players that never made them. What do we have time for here? Are we done?
Whatever you want.
We're
I'm
done.
Trying to pull up a list of top 10 players not to win a Super Bowl, but it's not working here because I know there are some we're forgetting.
Oh, I mean, there would be...
Tons.
There would be a
forgetting.
Bunch. There would be an awful... awful lot. I mean, Neil Lomax and Roy Green, some of the teams that I played for, they didn't win Super Bowls, that's for sure. Didn't even go to them, never got a sniff. Including Dan Dierdorf, including Conrad Dobler and all those idiots. We have a guest that has arrived. His name, by the way, is Tom Schreier. He's with Cold Omaha. He's a writer with 105 The Ticket. He has joined us now.
He was all over the Minnesota Wild today. He was at Morning Skate.
Wow.
With the new players. He's going to update us on that. The game, of course, a little over an hour away. Minnesota Wild hosting the Ottawa Senators, a team that's won 5 games in a row. The Ottawa Senators, that is. We should see our new players tonight on the ice. It's going to be very, very interesting. And Tom Schreier, a guy from Cold Omaha and 105theticket.com, has the entire scoop. He was blanketing the XL Energy Center today. So
covering them like Fred Smoot. By the way, caller number 7 right now at 651-989-9105 wins a pair of tickets for the Minnesota State High School Boys Hockey Tournament this Thursday, March 5th. Every tournament game, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, will air live right here on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Caller number 7, again, 651-989-9105 gets tickets to Thursday at the X. Good luck. Let's take a little break. We'll come back with Tom Schreier with Cold Omaha right here on Radioactive Sports.